Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Maundy Thursday at the Vines. Thinking about tonight in particular, but from last Sunday being Palm Sunday, seeing the journey from Palm Sunday through to Easter Day as just that, a journey, and kind of looking at what's on the floor here. You know, the palm branches that were scattered during Jesus' entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday and still lying around. There's a couple of pairs of sandals and cloaks and things. And in my mind, there is this continuum of Jesus journeying towards the cross. And tonight in particular, Maundy Thursday, it's kind of the darker side of one of the dark sides of Jesus' journey towards the cross. Very much a thought-provoking side, and the images of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. So our emphasis tonight is on the garden, but in our songs, we're actually singing songs that are about Jesus' crucifixion as well, because it's not Palm Sunday or Maundy Thursday or tomorrow. Or Easter Day, it's the whole picture and the whole of what happened for Jesus across those last several days. So I trust that you'll find tonight's service a blessing. And I should say welcome to those of you who might be watching online as well. And we trust that you'll gain something indeed from the service tonight. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, as we make this journey tonight, as we continue in our journey from Palm Sunday to this moment, we pray that you would guide our thoughts and our hearts, help us to listen, help us to see, help us to be present to you, Lord, as we recall these events that took place such a long time ago but are still as relevant today and as meaningful today as they were back then. So we commit this time to you with praise and thanks. Amen. Just remain seated as we sing the songs tonight. Unless you feel like standing up, feel free to do that if you'd like to.
Precious blood.
As a reflection from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, and Jesus praying in Gethsemane. Probably would have been darker than this. No electricity, maybe some torches. In Gethsemane, in the stillness, in the quietness, in the darkness, we hear our Lord's voice before his arrest and seek to discover how and where his words sit within our own lives. We hear our Lord's heart, his agony, anticipation, fear, but with a willingness to lay everything aside out of love for his Father. Jesus' voice in Gethsemane still speaks to us today. His words raise questions, but perhaps also provide an invitation for us to respond. And Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." When Jesus says, "Sit here while I pray," what's he asking us to do? What's our response? Romans chapter 8 and Hebrews chapter 7 refer to Jesus always interceding with the Father for us. What might our sitting with Jesus in his intercession with the Father look like? To Peter, James, and John, Jesus said, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me." Are we able to sit with Jesus in his deep grief? Am I able to sit with Jesus with my grief for the world, for someone I know, for myself? Jesus threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not what I want, but what you want." And a second and a third time he prayed similarly, "My Father, if this cup cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." Is there a cup I'm facing that is too much to bear? A cup that we are facing? The prospect of that cup too hard, too difficult, too challenging? Is Jesus inviting us to continue carrying that cup, whatever it is, in the knowledge that we do not carry it alone? Can we pray as Jesus did, "Not what I want, Father, but what you want"? On finding the disciples sleeping, Jesus said to Peter, "Dear Peter, so could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Are we able to acknowledge for ourselves that the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak? There seems to be an invitation from Gethsemane, the voice of Jesus inviting us to live lives of prayer, recognizing that there are times of willingness and yet weakness also, that there are times when we must journey through pain and look to the Father of Jesus and willingly say, "Your will be done." Jesus' voice in Gethsemane has glimpses of the well-known prayer he taught us. Can we pray together the prayer that our Lord taught us? And in doing so tonight, pray it not just for ourselves, but for all of humanity. Let's pray. In the modern version, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen."
A reading from John, chapter 18, verses 1 to 14. The betrayal and arrest of Jesus. After Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley to a place where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, because Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas brought a detachment of soldiers, together with police from the chief priests and the Pharisees. And they came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that was to happen to him, came forward and asked them, "Who are you looking for?" They answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus replied, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he." They stepped back and fell to the ground. Again he asked them, "Who are you looking for?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you I am he. So if you are looking for me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, "I did not lose a single one of those whom you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's slave, cutting off his right ear. The slave's name was Malchus. Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword back into its sheath. Am I not to drink the cup that the Father has given me?" Jesus before the high priest. So the soldiers, their officer, and the Jewish police arrested Jesus and bound him. First, they took him to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it was better to have one person die for the people. This is the word of the Lord.
Come and see, come and see, come and see the King of Love. See the purple robe and crown of thorns he wears. Soldiers mock, rulers sneer as he lifts the cruel cross. Alone and friendless now, he climbs towards the hill. We worship at your feet, where wrath and mercy meet, and a guilty world is washed by love's pure stream. For us he was made sin. Oh, help us take it in. Deep wounds of love cry out, "Father, forgive." Love's pure stream. for us he was made sin. Oh, help us take it in. Deep wounds of love cry out, Father, forgive. Restore us to your heaven. Here we bow in awe beneath your searching eyes. From your tears comes our joy. From your death our life shall spring. By your resurrection power we shall. Worship at your feet, where wrath and mercy meet, and a guilty world is washed by love's pure stream. For us he was made sin, oh, help us take it in. Of love by our Father, forgive. We worship the Lamb who was slain. Let's
pray. Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity to pause and to reflect on the life of Jesus. We ask your spirit would continue to move through us. Amen. So welcome to you. I knew I shouldn't have put that back row in. I should have left it. Good to see you all though. If you're visiting for the first time, great to have you here. So Jesus in the garden. It is really a significant point of remembering. And here's a picture of the Garden of Gethsemane. Probably be many years before I get the chance to see that in person, if ever. But it's obviously the trees aren't 2,000 years old. Some of them they think are probably 600 years old. But that is the space that they believe the garden to be. And it was a time when Jesus was confronted with things that had come to a climax, the point before his arrest. It was a time when he was confronted with the reality of the decisions he'd made. And he knew that it was a time when everything was coming to the pointy end. And when he found himself in that position, he prayed. What is prayer? We've been reflecting on that the last month, haven't we? What does prayer look like? Was the Garden of Gethsemane a place where there was sheer silence? Where the very presence of God was there, so much so that Jesus could open himself honestly to what was going on. The second slide really picks up another aspect, and this is where they believe Jesus prayed, next to where the tree may have been 2,000 years ago. And in that silent presence, poured his heart out as he realized that actually he had a choice. All he had to do was walk 10 minutes in the other direction out of the garden, and he was down the hill into the desert, away from the soldiers. He could have fled. He could have been free. He could have escaped it all. Anticipating dying, anticipating conflict, anticipating his death or what would happen to his disciples would have been an overwhelming experience for him. Jesus realized he had a choice, that he actually could continue living and take himself out of harm's way. The third slide really picks up that sense of fear and temptation. You know, one of the things I realized when I was researching or reflecting on this reading is that part of what was so difficult for Jesus was that, you know, Satan's offer to provide all he needed probably was an open-ended offer. So in the 3 years he spent right at the beginning of his ministry in the wilderness for 40 days, the temptation to actually call down help from other sources was there. The quote here picks this up very nicely. Solitude is the furnace of transformation. Without solitude, we remain victims of our society and continue to be entangled in the illusions of the false self. Jesus himself entered into this furnace. There he was tempted with the three compulsions of the world. To be relevant, turn stones into loaves. To be spectacular, throw yourself down. To be powerful, I will give you all these kingdoms. In Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was in the wilderness, he was tempted in this way. The devil said to him, "If you're the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." Jesus answered, "It's written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then we are told the devil took Jesus to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying, "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down." Jesus said to him again, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." And again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to Jesus, "All these I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it's written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Now, in the garden, the reason it was so confronting was because maybe that offer remained open. Maybe the thought that instead of calling down God's armies, he could actually pick up this promise or this invitation and suddenly somehow avoid the suffering, the agony. We've been talking about the liminal space. And for Jesus, that liminal space was a temptation. And would he apply his faith in this critical point? That quote before talked about the furnace and how Jesus had entered into this furnace. Now, when we think about a furnace is 67 to 70 degrees in temperature. It's meant to melt things down. And in this furnace, Jesus found himself. And in the furnace, the potential for his faith and trust in God to melt away was there. Just as with us, when we find ourselves in the furnace, whatever the furnace may be, health, lack of respect, relationship breakdown, whatever the issue might be, that furnace, when we find ourselves in it, has a chance to burn us down and to remove those convictions and values that we have. Jesus was tested. And we hear that Jesus, part of his response as he agonized over this, was actually to ask God to take the cup away from him, to remove the cup from him. The next slide picks this up. And again, the Garden of Gethsemane, where they have a plaque, where they think Jesus wept tears of blood. And in this garden, Jesus actually asks for this to be removed. But just like 3 years earlier when he was in the desert, he came to the point where he said, "Not my will be done, but yours." Affirming again that in the end, he would trust. Surrendering to God in solitude, surrendering to God in prayer is an opportunity for us to experience gratefulness, wonder, and acceptance. Now, obviously Jesus focused on the last one, acceptance. Acceptance is one of those things that we all struggle with, but it is at the heart of life-giving change. Jesus' prayer was right to the crux of the matter. Jesus was confronted with the desire to actually flee, free or fight. What was he going to do? And the acceptance enabled him to actually continue to face what God had before him. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only, said Jesus. So tonight we are thinking a little bit about our own garden experiences, our own furnace experiences, our own times when maybe we've had a cup that seemed too hard for us to hold or too big to bear or something we want to let go of, we're sick of, no longer want. What are those experiences like for us? Part of the opportunity we'll have tonight is to spend some time in prayer and actually to come forward and light a candle that represents whatever it is that you want to let go of. And as you light that candle, place it in the sand as a way of having your prayers heard in a symbolic way. I'm going to invite you to just pause with me as we prepare ourselves. And again, I'll lead us through a very short little prayers, just simple lines. And the last slide, slide eight, is an opportunity for you just to think about those prayers that you would like answered tonight. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, it can be hard to understand what it was like for you and how traumatic that must have been. And yet, if we're honest, we're often confronted with things that are very painful and hard. Lord, we wish to spend some time in prayer tonight. Lord, we pray for those who have betrayed us, or maybe those who have wanted to hurt us. Again, I invite you to offer silent prayers. Lord, we pray for those times where we've been misunderstood. For the times we've let our fear and anxiety make the decisions for us. For the times where we felt abandoned and alone. Lord, we pray for strength to face an unknown future. Lord, we pray that our trust may deepen and grow. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would continue to move through our lives as we spend time in prayer tonight. We ask that you would stir within us those things that we need to pray for, to let go, to give to you, to hand over, to leave behind. Again, I invite you just to, in your own time, when you're ready, to come forward and light a candle and put it in the sand as a way of expressing your prayers and letting go if you need to. As you go tonight, there's some prayers on the chairs. It's just the prayer of St. Patrick, and has some beautiful words there. Let me just share one bracket. Christ, shield me today against wounding. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me. Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me. Christ on my right, Christ on my left. When I lie down, Christ when I sit down. Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me. Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me. Christ in the eye that sees me. Christ in the ear that hears me. I arise today through the mighty strength of our Lord of creation. Go in peace. David's going to share a song with us, I think, as we conclude. And for those of you who I'll see tomorrow at 9:30 or Sunday 9:30, God's peace go with you.
And before we sing our last song, I've been thinking about this journey here that Jesus made. It, you know, just wasn't the week. We've been thinking about Holy Week, but the whole of his life, his incarnation, boyhood, manhood, ministry, arrest, trial, execution, resurrection. And that complete story we, each of us, are a part of. And so I'm going to do something really odd and invite you to do likewise. If you want to, it's no obligation while we sing this last song, but I'm going to put my shoes in this journey just to say, yeah, I am a part of this journey, and I can say, as Paul did, I have been crucified in Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me, loves me, and gave himself for me and you. Let's sing together. Church is going to stay open until about 9 o'clock. If you want to sit a while longer, light another candle, please feel free to do so.